Jean and for her ministry and your call upon her life. And we pray right now that you fill her with your Holy Spirit as she shares from your word. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear and receive from you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Andrew. Well, I am the good shepherd. It's actually the fourth of seven I am sayings of Jesus. You may remember them. I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, and lastly, the true vine. And in those two words, I am, imply God is fully in the present with us, in the here and now. And it was, you may remember, the unique name that God revealed to Moses. Now, sheep and shepherds are mentioned lots and lots of times in the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. All we like sheep have gone astray. An angel appeared to the shepherds, the Lamb of God, and so on. And obviously, it's not hard to work out why. Both the New Testament and the Old Testament were written at a time and in a place where sheep were an important part of the culture. But of course, even today, many parts of Great Britain have flocks of sheep ranging the hills with shepherds and sheepdogs. The shepherd was absolutely responsible for the sheep. If anything happened to one of them, he had to produce some kind of proof that it was not his fault. The law actually laid down in Exodus 22 that a piece of the sheep had to be brought as evidence to show the owners that he had been unable to prevent the death. Amos speaks about the shepherd rescuing two legs or a piece of an ear after a lion attacked and killed the animal. The reference to the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep reminds us of young David, who, when he offered to fight Goliath, had already risked his life for the sheep that he was looking after. He protected them from wolves and bears and lions. You can read that in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And to a shepherd, it was the most natural thing in the world to risk his life in defence of the flock. Because there were prowling animals around, like wolves and other wild animals, and they found the sheep easy targets. Now, Jesus was aware of this in Matthew 10, when he said he was sending his disciples out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Wolves, of course, were a threat to the flock. And later in Acts chapter 20, verse 29, Paul warned the elders in Ephesus that grievous wolves would come, not sparing the flock. And James tells us that the devil prowls round like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Jesus, of course, as he refers to the flock, is actually talking about the Church of Christ and how it suffers from double danger. It is always liable to attack from outside, the prowling lions and the wolves, the robbers and the thieves. But it is also liable to trouble from the inside, from the false shepherds who are teaching false truths. The disaster of shepherds who see their calling as a career and not as a life of service and love for others. The Palestinian shepherd might be faced with many dangers caring for his flock, but Jesus said the good shepherd would die rather than let prowling animals kill the sheep. So these unfaithful false shepherds came into the job not as a calling, but as a way of making money. There was no way the hired hand would be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus' point is that those who work only for reward think chiefly of the money, but those who work for love think chiefly of the people they are trying to serve. And of course, in this context, Jesus is having a go at the Pharisees and other religious leaders who were not looking after the sheep properly. A quote I read in my Bible reading notes said, "One of the greatest plagues on the Christian church down the ages has been church leaders who are not even Christians." And some people over the years have been led astray by false teaching, such as the prosperity gospel. False teaching in the church at Colossae tried to add to the gospel of Christ. They tried to add by elaborate systems of philosophical thought, circumcision, aesthetic rules and regulations, even encouraging the worship of angels. In other words, they thought that Jesus Christ and his work on the cross were not sufficient for salvation. And if false teachers weren't trying to add to the gospel, then, as Ezekiel 34 says, they were feeding themselves and not their flocks. They hadn't strengthened the weak, healed the sick, bandaged the injured, brought back the strays, or sought the lost. But with force and harshness, they had ruled over their people. Now, the Jewish sheepfold, which we read about, would often contain sheep from different folds. And the shepherd would lie across the only entrance to the fold during the night to protect them. And in the morning, the shepherds would be able to sort out their own sheep, because each sheep would respond to the voice of the individual shepherd as he calls out to them using the unique sound of his own voice that they recognize. And to begin with, Jesus sent his disciples to the lost sheep of Israel. But all through his ministry, he interacted with other people who were not Jews, like the Roman centurion, the Samaritan leper, and the Samaritan woman at the well. So the Jewish sheep pen has now been opened up for others to enter. And all over the world, men and women are being brought into Jesus's fold. Now, this goes right back to the beginning in the story of Abraham, where God made it clear that all nations of the world would be blessed through him. Likewise, Isaiah was convinced that God had given Israel for a light to the Gentiles. That's in Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 49. So the other sheep not of this fold are Gentiles, you and me. In fact, in our prayer meeting before the service this morning, someone prayed about us being adopted into God's family. But those other sheep cannot be added to the flock or adopted into his family unless they first hear the message, unless someone goes out to bring them in. And remember Jesus' words at the end of Matthew, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations." Now, Christians around the world may worship in different ways with different styles, but we are all united by a common loyalty to Jesus Christ as we seek to follow him, the Good Shepherd. And that's how Jesus describes himself, as the Good Shepherd. Because a real shepherd was born to the task, probably handed down during the family. He was sent out with the flock as soon as he was old enough to go. The sheep became his friends and companions, and it was second nature to think of them before himself. I found out that there are two words for good in the Greek: agathos, which means the moral quality of a thing, and then there is kalos, K-A-L-O-S, which means that in the goodness there is a certain charm which makes it lovely. When Jesus is describing himself as the Good Shepherd, he uses that second word, kalos. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16 says, "He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend." And Jesus goes on to say that he is the Good Shepherd because he knows the sheep and the sheep know him. Verse 10 said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." But we cannot have life to the full unless the shepherd first lay down his life in our place. Jesus calls us not to a dreary, lifeless, miserable existence, but to a rich, full and joyful life, overflowing with meaningful activities, under the personal favour and blessing of God and in fellowship with his people. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has come to tend, and protect his people, Israel, but to call other flocks, the Gentiles, as well. And Jesus knows his own sheep because they recognize his voice. To know comes from the Greek word ginosko. It means to know experientially and was used as a Jewish idiom for physical intimacy. So this is not book knowledge, but personal knowledge. And here we have four P's that we can remember. The Good Shepherd provides for us because he knows our basic need. The Good Shepherd pilots us because he knows our need for direction. The Good Shepherd protects us because he knows our need for security. And the Good Shepherd pursues us because he knows how easily we are led astray. Jesus said he is the Good Shepherd because he knows the sheep and the sheep know him. But in order for a shepherd to know his sheep really well, they must, of course, spend lots of time together. They lived with each other. He talked with them so that the sheep recognized his voice all the time. Psalm 147 says the Lord knows all the stars by name. So he certainly knows each of us by name. He knows you and me. And Jesus said in verse 3 of John 10, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And as sheep that belong to the Good Shepherd, we can recognize and then respond to the voice of the Good Shepherd and experience his leading every day. So Jesus sets the example to other shepherds and to other leaders by showing from his own life and death the sacrificial way of encouraging others to follow their leadership, but above all, making sure that the flock are well fed and protected. In fact, a lot of that can be summed up in three words: feed my sheep, or feed my lambs. And to feed God's flock is a high calling. And in fact, even the word pastor literally means shepherd, from the Latin word to feed or graze. And we've seen how the false shepherds didn't feed their flocks properly at all. Today in a church, we have our main shepherds. We might have youth shepherds and Bible study shepherds and music shepherds and so on. 1 Corinthians shows us that we each have a different role to play in the body of Christ, all for the common good. But all the gifts that we are given in the church have that same underlying role: to feed my lambs. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. Now, it's not surprising Peter wrote that when the final talk he had with Christ on the beach after the resurrection were those same words repeated three times: feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And as he writes this letter, he is in part fulfilling that command to feed my sheep. And there is a pattern of behavior here for all leaders, whether in the secular world, but especially in the church. And for us as Christians at Pip and Jim's, we can thank God for leadership down the many, many years who have shown us the qualities of sacrificial, self-sacrificing leadership, love and service. But leaders cannot expect others to go where they haven't been themselves. I had the wonderful experience of belonging to Girls Life Brigade, as it used to be called before it became Girls Brigade, as a young girl. Our captain used to say to us girls that the company cannot rise above its senior girls. They were the ones to set the example to the younger ones to follow. And it's through the Girls Life Brigade that I gained my gold Duke of Edinburgh award and went to Buckingham Palace in 1962. And yes, I shook hands with the Duke of Edinburgh. I thought I'd slip that one in following his sad death recently. Now, it took me years to gain that award because there is always hard work. There's a price to be paid for achieving anything that's worth having. Studying for A-levels, discipline in a sport to achieve success, hours of practice to learn an instrument, study, training, discipline. And living the Christian life doesn't mean sitting back being spoon-fed. Paul, writing to 2 Timothy, says, "Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Do you remember the nursery rhyme, "Mary Had a Little Lamb"? Well, those words were actually the very first recording in history captured on a phonograph. Thomas Edison recorded his own voice reciting this rhyme around the year 1877. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. It followed her to school one day, which was against the rules. It made the children laugh and play to see a lamb at school. And so the teacher turned it out, but still it lingered near, and waited patiently about till Mary did appear. "Why does the lamb love Mary so?" the eager children cry. "Why, Mary loves the lamb, you know," the teacher did reply. What a wonderful little glimpse into why the lamb followed Mary to school. Because Mary loves the lamb. And that's at the heart of our Christian faith. We follow Jesus Christ because he loves us, each one of us. Lastly, we're going to look at those last two verses where Jesus was a willing sacrifice. We cannot get so caught up with sheep and shepherds without looking afresh at those last two verses. When Jesus laid down his life on the cross, it was a completely voluntary act. John 19, verse 30 said, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He was not the victim of circumstances. Jesus sacrificed himself willingly in order to save us from eternal separation from God. And though he was the Son of God, that relationship did not give him the right to do what he wanted to do. It depended on him doing what God wanted him to do. His life was totally based on obedience. Did you notice that 5 times in this passage, Jesus said he would lay down his life for the sheep? How can we not respond to such love? I remember a powerful hymn from the days that I went to a Baptist church and where I learnt so much of the Christian faith. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, "This of mine has wandered away from me, and although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep." I wonder if someone here watching today has wandered away from the Lord. The 99 are safely tucked up in the fold, but you're far away in the hills. Will you let the good shepherd seek you out and find you? Will you respond to his voice as he calls out your name? And if you have been found by the good shepherd, are you still following him? Are you still close enough to hear and recognize his voice? Or are there other things blocking your hearing? Are you letting him feed and sustain you? And then are you in turn fulfilling the shepherd role of looking after others in the flock and feeding them too? So the life of a shepherd speaks both to leaders, but also to all Christian followers. And the example of Jesus speaks to us all about obedience and sacrificial service. I am the good shepherd. We have a truly faithful leader in Jesus Christ, who calls us to listen and respond to his voice, who calls us to follow him where he leads, and who gives us the assurance of his loving protection and presence. This morning, may we all be willing to follow Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, so that we can respond to the last two lines of that hymn I just read out, that go, and the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. I pray that there will be many brought back into the fold today. Hallelujah. Amen.